What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
white noise.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the White Noise Podcast. We're back again after rave reviews and pretty good feedback. And this is pretty much, if you guys don't know, it's a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and pretty much anything. But expect some extra doses of randomness to come your way, so we're not really giving you all news and all tech talk. We might end up going on wild tangents every so often. But just so you know, you guys, you could find us at gizmodo.com/tag/white noise, as well as thewhitenoisepodcast.com for all the latest info. If you want to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/walletpizza, one word. And tonight we got a pretty good lineup. We have our guest host tonight, the wonderful OMG Ponies.
Red 5, stand by.
We have Mike Zuniga coming in.
Happy Kwanzaa, crackers.
S Bunny is also here.
Hello.
Trying not to get her voice confused with everybody else.
Yeah, ponies.
Gonzo's coming back. We love him so much we brought him back for this episode, too.
Welcome back, everybody.
And last but not least, Snoop Dizzle is also on the mic.
Hey, how goes it?
And I'm your moderator, Stephen Callis. Thank you all for coming in tonight to record this show. We'll start off with the big news of the week, which was Windows Phone 7, its unveiling, and it's pretty much, we got a whole big launch party where they introduced, I believe it was 9 new handsets, as well as pretty good details on the operating system itself, and pretty much we're getting the flagships of AT&T and T-Mobile riding the sales with Microsoft on this one. So I leave it to you guys. Let's talk.
Well, I like that there isn't any, like, you know, stupid UI overlay on it. It's all just the same interface for the
phone. I don't like how it's not going to be on Sprint, my carrier, until, what, February? Is that February?
You're assuming Sprint will still be around then.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying that if the Verizon iPhone exists, Sprint will not.
Well, I don't know if, like, the... I mean, I'm assuming they will get the iPhone, but I don't think it's going to be this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, as regarding the overlay, like S. Bunny was talking about, I'm glad there's a bit of uniformity. I do wish it comes to Sprint, but you never know. But I think what Windows Phone 7 will do is be a little more uniform than fragmented like Android's been.
Yeah, I'll take a drink.
What I would like to see, though, is because right now we're the second half of October, which means there's about 70 more shopping days till Christmas, and I still haven't seen a television ad for Windows Phone 7. I have seen iPhone ads. I've been seeing Evo ads. I know that RIM has been bombarding the airwaves with BlackBerry Torch ads in spite of it being a horrible handset, but it's great that, you know, Gizmodo readers know that Windows Phone 7 exists, but I'm fairly certain that all of us put together cannot make it a success. So maybe they should like to advertise their phone.
Well, that's gonna play out to see whether or not Microsoft is relying on its own advertising department or it's relying on the carriers to advertise their phone for them, sort of like Motorola does with the Droid. So. Well, I mean, you're right, though. It's still, we should have gotten something by now, but considering it was just unveiled this week, maybe I'm guessing by next week we should have something hitting the airwaves.
Well, it better be good. I mean, I'm thinking stupid catchy jingle, and I'm thinking stupid catchy jingle every 5 minutes, Apple style.
I remember the Kin ads. They better at least try harder to advertise that than the Kin, because...
They were trying to not advertise the Kin at some... Like, they were trying to silently recall it, remember?
Yeah, but I remember it being advertised.
Do you remember the Zune ads, though? The ones, no, like, there was the chick who, like, walks into the painting.
Right, that was the thing with the Zune, is they it's an excellent device. They just don't market things well. It depends. Yeah,
well, they don't market the Zune HD at all. I've never seen one commercial with the Zune HD, and compared to the media capabilities of the iPhone and the iPod Touch, it's superior. But you know, obviously, they have the App Store, which makes them overall superior.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Creative Nomad Zen, which on paper was better than the iPod, but evidently Apple is the only electronics manufacturer out there that is aware that there is something called the television and that there are ads on the television. I don't know why other companies don't know this.
Well, Microsoft's been pretty successful in the video game end, but they need to advertise like that in their...
Funny that same ad agency is actually the one who did all the Zune ads.
Yeah,
the one who does all the ads for Halo.
The other thing is Microsoft. I mean, no one realizes it. No, actually, Microsoft does have a lot of ads. They advertise on Sunday morning during the news shows, and what they're advertising is they're advertising a Microsoft brand for office productivity. Where their biggest competitor is SAP, not Apple.
Right.
I think Microsoft is still very much a schizophrenic company, and it doesn't quite know where it's going to be getting the bulk of its money, if it wants to stay as, you know, the office productivity Windows company, or if it wants to try to go for some just insane screw-you money a la the iPhone, which is pretty much what Apple does. They don't make computers anymore. Well, they do, but they don't rely on the computer.
Regardless of the advertising spin that Microsoft is taking on this or not taking on it, they had a very, very solid launch with Windows Phone 7 in terms of hardware and software and its capabilities. Even though it seems to be more oriented towards people who are into keyboards, we see hardware that is very, very solid. I think the HTC 7 Surround actually has a built-in soundbar. With Dolby Digital Surround,
Dolby Cheddar.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the Dell one.
The what?
The Dell Venue Pro. I just like how it looks.
Wait. This is the first time in 10 years that I've heard someone say, I like the Dell.
Hey,
I'm so dude, you're getting a Dell.
But combined with the cool hardware they got, I mean, the solid specs, they're also going really deep with the software, like the AT&T U-verse integration, the Xbox Live integration, the Netflix integration, and pretty much, let's face it, they are heavily focusing on the cloud and social media, and particularly Facebook.
They certainly are, it's certainly appealing, and I think they might, if they get enough developers on board, they might surpass Android in about 2 years. But, I mean, I like all the HTC phones that are coming out, basically, though a sound bar on a phone really doesn't do much for me, especially if the phone doesn't have good battery life.
Well, the surprising thing is that the Windows Phone 7 or Windows 7 Phone, I don't know, fix the name. But the fact that it's on AT&T, which is hostile to Android, I mean, just openly hostile, the only Android phone you can get on the... it's the worst one.
Well, they have the Captivate now, which is a little better, but it's still
not
our shit.
It's not an Android-friendly company. So.
Well, it's interesting to see how you have Apple and Microsoft having AT&T as their flagship carrier on the same network, you know, side-by-side advertising. Holy shit, how did that happen?
That's what AT&T... will do like what they want them to do, you know?
Like, well, I think when Sprint doesn't really have a selling, they don't have like a big hot phone right now.
The
Evo, but still, I mean, I don't know, but they don't have one that they're as big as the iPhone, like a big thing like that. So I think they'd be willing to do whatever if someone came out with a big product. I think they'd be willing to do whatever they wanted.
Actually, Sprint has a big product of its own. I was watching the Giants-Niners game and saw a Sprint commercial. And their product, which was unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling.
Yeah,
when you have a data plan, which is actually I take advantage of.
Yeah, which...
Any mobile, anytime, actually, it's what it's called.
Yeah, and I saw that, and it's like, you know, that's a product. Okay, oh, not any Sprint, but any AT&T, any mobile, that's it.
That definitely competes with Verizon and AT&T, especially Verizon's going down the tiered pricing route.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't. Supposedly 4G was coming to New York, and I don't know if it's in the New York City area, but they were in upstate New York. They were claiming they'd have 4G by now, but who knows when that actually will come by.
Well, in New York, you don't want too much success.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna get back to mobile phones in a little bit. I want to discuss a little bit about Nokia and iPhone later on. But we also have another big event coming up. And what is it? 3 days, which is the Mac event from Apple, which they're going to be debuting previewing OS 10.7. Not much is known about it yet. I mean, it's, you know, they're going to reveal it. What do you guys, any of you use Mac OS, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we do have some people on here. So what do you think that Mac will be showing us or probably telling us about its latest version of its operating system?
Well, really, number one, what I want more than anything is stability. To be perfectly honest, the last very good Mac OS version was Tiger, which was 10.4.8. And after that, I mean, they were just adding bloat and bloat and bloat, not really giving a lot of features. The last true, amazing, holy cow feature, you know, Time Machine. I don't know what they can really offer that, you know, except maybe they'll copy, you know, Arrow Peak from Windows 7. Maybe they'll do that.
Really had many issues with OS 10, but I mean Windows has Arrow Peak, but then, you know, OS 10 has Expose and Spaces, which I like. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a stability in some cases, I mean, it had some issues, but not too many. But I mean, I'm not really sure what they're going to announce.
They basically hinted that it's going to be something to do with multi-touch, which sounds really, it sounds really dumb. I mean, they, you know, and it's probably going to, if that's what it is, it's going to coincide with some kind of rollout with a new computer.
Touchscreen iMac.
Either a touchscreen iMac or one with the special multi-touch mousepad thingamajig on by default.
Yeah.
Well, they did file for a patent for a device that looks strangely familiar to an iMac that has touch capabilities, but that was just a few months ago.
It's the HP Touch Smart.
I have a feeling, though, it's I have a feeling it's not going to be a major release, as in, you know, holy shit, we're changing the entire perspective of the operating system. It's going to be just another one of those minor upgrades where the features are probably in desperate need of upgrading or overly hyped.
They did that with Snow Leopard.
Yes, but they're giving you little by little. Like, Snow Leopard's big thing, like, they introduced also QuickTime 7, which was being written from the ground down, which was the first time since the early 90s.
You mean QuickTime 10?
QuickTime 10, I'm sorry, yes, but QuickTime 7 for Windows, I think, right?
Or is it QuickTime? Yeah, but
it's more of using new code and built from the ground up, so it's not as cluttered and slow anymore.
And the operating system is like that, too. I mean, it was like all under the hood features, no new visual stuff for the most part.
I have a feeling that we're probably going to see something to do with speech recognition, which pretty much has been stagnant since OS 9. It's the same thing. It hasn't been touched since then. And with Windows sort of pushing speech recognition, I think Apple might go on board with that.
I want them to bring back Mac Paint. That would be hot. Either that or bring back the Carbon interface.
Or Chitfix.
That rock. You know? Or, HyperCard.
HyperCard, yes.
And Dark Castle.
Yeah. You know?
But we're also going to see a lot of more focus on the cloud. I mean, they've already hinted that with Ping. But we might see some social network integration within the operating system itself, like perhaps a Facebook share. Or a Twitter share or a Ping share.
I don't want everyone to know that I'm looking at porn on my Mac.
Yeah, see, I mean, I just think social networking features that are built in like that just are gimmicky.
They are.
But it's they're shifting with consumer sort of
Oh, that's right. They're not a computer company anymore. They're
a lifestyle cult company.
Exactly, lifestyle cult company. You know,
but I mean, I think that we will see a lot more integration with social media as well as cloud, not cloud computing like 100%, but the ability
synced services.
Right. So I mean, you'll probably be able to stream your music from your iMac to your Apple TV to your iPhone, whether you're in. Whether one's in China and the other one is in, you know, southern LA, for example. Well,
I can see the Apple TV, but not the iPhone.
Another thing I had read was that, you know, a possible, I guess, renewed interest in widgets, which...
Oh, Christ.
It's like, you know, we have Dashboard. We've had Dashboard. We know it exists. We've all changed our function key so that instead of it bringing up Dashboard, it brings up something useful. Who knows? So maybe they'll copy off of, Rain Meter. Maybe they'll just start putting, like, Rain Meter. Or they could go total throwback and copy ActiveX Desktop and claim it as their own.
Oh, God.
Oh, for those who don't know what Rain Meter is, Rain Meter is kind of this desktop extension thing that you basically can use to change the entire look of your operating system. And most people use it to add little integrated widgets onto their desktop, not just like a little thing that's hanging on top, but something that is actually integrated, like in an interesting typographical way, or just an interesting visual way to correspond with the wallpaper. It's more artistic than functional.
Well, it can be extremely functional. I mean, I've got my Vio open, and I've got Rain Meter running, and I use that because it will tell me, you know, number one, how much drive space I'm using, but more importantly, it tells me what my RAM usage is, what my CPU usage is real time, as well as my network speeds. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I can track that and say, oh, wait, hold on, something now is all of a sudden gobbling 5 zillion processes. Let me go control alt delete and manually shut down Firefox.
Rain Meter just shut down. Oh, wow.
Well, I think they might also include something that filters all the content you watch on your new Mac based on Steve Jobs' personal preferences of no porn, no adult content.
Hey, freedom from porn, man.
Freedom from porn. Just like the patent they filed for anti-sexting technology. You guys read that article?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
From ValueWeg, where I think it was in 2008, Apple filed for an approval of systems, devices, and methods of filtering text-based messages based on objectionable content, I quote, which pretty much means that they want to
objectionable
stop
to whom?
Stop sexting on the iPhone.
Like, I understand you want to protect children from, you know, objectionable things, but let people use their phone as they want to. And besides, the kids are going to have to show their parents how to use it, and then they'll know a workaround, so it's kind of pointless.
Well, not just that, but if you want to keep your kid from sexting on the iPhone, don't give them an iPhone.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Responsibility.
Just don't give them a phone because it's there's nothing stopping it. You know, get rid of the law that makes you a sex offender if you've sent it to your girlfriend when you're in high school.
Well, then again, we're not a smart society. We don't have smart children, and therefore they will never figure out a way to get around that by replacing, you know, penis with cucumber, for example.
Like, kids are getting younger and younger when they have cell phones. Like,
that is true.
See, I can totally picture you like writing an entire sexy message, but redoing it to pass the block. Like, you know, it's like, I want to stick my egg roll in your soy sauce containers, you know, or something like that.
Well, you remember when the iPhone came out and everyone was complaining about the whole ducking censorship on the iPhone. And sure enough, for the last 3 years, first thing I do when I get an iPhone is send like hundreds of text messages using every bit of profanity ever, so that now I've trained my phone, so if I do type, say, duck, it assumes that I didn't mean duck.
Oh, God.
The f-bomb, and it correct it to the f-bomb instead of duck. So, you know, of course, if I, you know, take my, you know, little brother to the pond, you know, say, hey, look, it's all wonderful.
Why are you feeding bread to the fox, man?
But no, seriously, it's, you know, they've got to have a way around it. I mean, you know, I don't duck anyone.
Okay. The one I hate the most is the one where you try to type in hell and they'll autocorrect it to heal.
Have we gotten to the point where we suck so much as parents that we need companies and governments to watch our children for us, to babysit and watch out for them?
No. Yeah,
people have been making that argument for 30 years now.
But we have gotten to the point where companies think that parents want that.
Yeah.
See, I think Steve Jobs should go back to smoking pot and being a person again. And then...
yeah, he had that part removed, okay?
Oh, that's right, when he had the surgery.
It's his minimalist lifestyle.
No, but yeah, I mean, half the stuff these patents are made for, if parents were actually responsible, we wouldn't have half these issues. But that's too hard to do, I guess.
No, we sue people.
Yeah,
for that stuff.
It's just the Tesla patent. It lacks two crucial words. By whom? So, in some embodiments, a message will be blocked if the included messages includes forbidden content. Forbidden by whom?
Indeed.
Please tell me. And yeah. Also, if, you know, I spent like an hour this afternoon trying to, you know, hook up some new app, Raptor, so that it would, you know, show my online friends. And I spent an hour trying to figure out what my login credentials for Xbox Live were, because I never do that. I never, you know, have to plug in my login. It just does it. And the last thing I want is another set of login credentials. I don't want to remember what email address I used to register. I don't want to remember the password I used. I don't want to remember this. So, fine. Let's say that you have some account, cloud-based, that, you know, keeps a track of all your forbidden content. Great, now I have to remember it. So,
I can only imagine not automated messages coming to your phone. Are you sure you want to access, you know, naughtymidgetporn.com? There's a log of that, and it goes to your one of those online history trackers of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, and this is what I'm afraid of, you know, with Facebook integration. You know, it's like, hey, are you sure you want to access farmsex.net? And it's like, hey, you know, I have to click yes. And then it auto adds it to my Facebook feed. You know, I don't need that.
Well, unlike you, I'm sure you're open about telling people that I go to farmsex.net.
Okay, here's what I'd like to know. Feel free to answer or not to answer. How many of you guys go into private mode on your own computer when you look at porn? Or do you freely and openly do it?
I freely and openly do it. Speakers blasting, neighbors watching through my window. I'm jumping on the bed as I masturbate, you know, trying to show everybody.
Are you in an apartment or a house?
I'm in a house.
Oh, okay, so it's not like
my neighbor. He has
his wife open with
his watching porn, and like my window directly faces his living room.
Ooh.
It's
whose fault is that?
He doesn't know either, and like there's then always this part where he rewinds it and watches like the insertion.
He doesn't close the blinds.
So this is like ugly naked neighbor from Friends.
Oh, you know, I still have a crush on Rachel Green.
You're not alone.
Am I right? Was it ugly naked neighbor or fat naked neighbor?
It was fat naked guy. And fat naked guy. Yeah. And they looked down into his apartment. Like, I had a problem with that episode because they made a conscious decision to go stand by that window and look down in on him. So it's not fat naked guy's fault.
Speaking of all this masturbation, by the way.
Known as Monday.
Yes. I wanted to bring up, we're going to switch over to gaming just for a little bit.
So you're assuming all gamers masturbate?
No. Would you let me finish my segue? Let me finish my segue, please.
Oh, I apologize.
Yes. The other day I was pretty bored with... No, I was not masturbating. I do that during at night, not the day. Anyway. The other day I was going through my Nintendo ROMs on my computer because I was sort of bored of all the modern games, and I see this one game on there. I have like 1,000, and I see this one game on there, and the title is Pussy City Pimps.
Sounds amazing.
And I was like, oh my god, I was in tiny shit. I'm like, holy shit, I just have this game called Pussy City Pimps. So I load it up, and sure enough, it says Pussy City Pimps, copyright 1989, you know, Nintendo, et cetera, et cetera. And let me read you the intro storyline.
Okay.
Pussy City was a paradise where the girls freely used their hands, mouths, pussies, and assholes for the pleasure of all. But now, pimps have taken over and kidnapped your favorite hoe, Horny. Stop the pimps to make sex free.
Did you ever play Leisure Suit Larry?
No. Not the new ones, the old ones.
The old ones.
Yes, the old ones.
But I actually got a whole bunch of people, including Gonzo Ryder, to start out this game. Gonzo, what are your impressions on this game? Give us a little bit of a rundown.
It's kind of weird when you go to the malls and you see the naked women walking around with shoulder pads and this massive bush. It's a little creepy. But, I mean, overall, it's a fun game because you get to run around and beat people with anal beads and dildos. And, I mean, what more could you ask for?
Wait. I'll tell you what you can ask for. You can ask for a finishing move of anal fisting.
You can buy an anal fisting book.
Oh, yes, God, my sphincter just closed shut when you said that.
Oh, ow.
How many facials do you guys think you guys bought that day?
Well, this game is actually a modification. It ends up being off of River City Ransom, another game.
I was trying to think of what the game was originally called. Yeah, it was River City Ransom.
Well, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So there's in the game, there's a shopping mall where you can go pick up your hoes, correct?
Actually, it has a series of shopping malls. Each shopping mall is a checkpoint. So there's penis front mall and, Slutto Mall and stuff like that. And each mall has shops where you could buy power-ups. Now, what you do is you got to beat up all these pimps and steal their money in order to get coin. And then you go to the mall and you buy power-ups, which do different things like increase your stats. It's like a role-playing game. And
it just gives new meaning to the phrase, I'm going to go down to the mall and get a facial.
Yes, they're available for $5.75 in this game.
And what was the school about? You were mentioning on Tiny Chat, I forget the name of the school, but did you start off there or what?
Pussy City High School, yes. That is where Horny is being kept hostage. And you have to max out your stats.
An evil granny boss.
Yes,
oh, so it's like the companion school from Serenity.
More or less. Yes. So, but the whole point is when you you don't have a health bar, you have a semen bar. So what you have to do is you have to max out your semen every so often by buying, by asking whores to rape you or...
No. That's not
how does that max out the semen?
By the way, if you play this game, do not get the free items, which are rape me or, fuck myself or stuff like that, because they take your money and they don't do anything for you.
I can't believe I actually downloaded an emulator just to play this game.
For those who are listening in, I have the tiny URL for you. It is tinyurl.com/2, C as in cat, V as in Victor, R as in rabbit, F as in fart, A as in asshole, O as in cat.
Okay, you do need to make it appropriately vulgar, so it's... C as in cunt. See, I already dropped the C-bomb.
Yes.
B as in vagina.
That is why we need British people on here on this podcast. If there's any people from England overseas that want to join this podcast, just come and say cunt, because it sounds so much better when they say it.
Hey, my mom's British.
Well, let's have your mom on the podcast.
My mom goes to college.
So,
much mother.
So if we're gonna go with vulgar, let's go O for O'Reilly and
fuck it, we'll do it live.
But that URL has a download, it has a review, some screenshots, the download link for the game, and a download for the emulator, so you could get your fill of semen just from that site.
Also, remember when you type the address that you need to put in the http://// okay, it's http://// tinyurl the rest of it. So
that's you with the news, Tim.
And believe it or not, there's actually people out there who are not so tech savvy.
Every single time they say it on the news, they put http colon back to back to this. Yeah.
Oh, and regarding the game, what were the power ups? There's stuff like anal beads and shit. Like
anal beads are weapons.
Oh, weapons, yeah.
Well, you could throw used condoms, anal beads, you know, trash cans, dildos.
Smack people with dildos.
So basically, it's Mardi Gras.
Pretty much. But it's a very addicting game. It really is. Like, you say things that you never thought you'd say, like, you know, God, I need another facial, or...
I think Gonzo on Tiny Chat was like, oh, shit, I ran out of semen.
Story of my life.
I need a refill.
But
you guys played that game for, like, hours.
Balls.
I was only on the side buttons listening in, which was pretty amusing by itself.
I only downloaded it for the articles.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait, there were books, too, you could read up in, right, in the game?
Yeah, you could buy books. They weren't very helpful, but they're all
kinds
of books.
It's like the books in Morrowind, you know? They have no purpose.
All right. Shifting along back to tech news and away from anal beads, let's talk a little bit about Google. They had two sort of mini releases this week. One was actually an official release with the Sony TV, the Sony Google TV. The other one was Google self-driving cars, sort of opposite ends of the spectrum here. We'll start off with Sony Google Power TV because that's more official than anything. They released, I believe, it's a few models ranging all the way from 46 inches down to 24 inches. Price tags from $1,400 down to $16, and pretty much they are high-definition televisions with Google TV integrated, and they also offer a Blu-ray player that's also internet-enabled for Google TV. This was revealed earlier this week, and they should be hitting the market quite soon, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe today. I went to Best Buy today, and I don't think... Well, they had, like, a 46-inch Google Sony TV, and it seemed pretty decent. I don't know if I would buy it for Google TV. What I'm glad they're doing, though, is that drives down the prices of other TVs. Even stuff like 3D TVs, I like them because they drive everything else down in price.
The other thing is, you know, a lot of the companies like Samsung and Sharp, they've been trying to push their little widgetized televisions, and it seems like Google is the killer app. I mean, I don't give a damn about Facebook on my television.
Right.
If I'm going to Facebook while watching TV, I'll have my computer in my lap and I'll Facebook that way. However, I think, you know, simply because I am literally in the market for a new TV, but I wouldn't buy a 46-incher because, you know, at around 46 inches, you're really not seeing the benefit from 1080i versus 1080p. Just simply, your eye is not detecting it. However, what I would have loved to have seen, and I would have paid up to, say, $1,800 or $1,900 for it, would have been a 52-incher. And I think if they had that class, that would have been a real sort of, you know, a lock. And also, Sony is, you know, Sony's always been a TV company with its marquee brands. I mean, you know, the Vega from way back in the day, the Trinitron screens, and now the Bravia and the XBR series. Putting Google onto a Sony TV doesn't make me want to buy it. If it was Sony Bravia or a Sony XBR, that would make me want to buy it. And if it was a Sony XBR with Google TV, then I'd want to buy it. But I don't want to buy some low to mid-range Sony TV just because it's got Google built in.
Right. I believe the second generation ones will be a lot better. And also, you can buy the set-top box, I believe, for $299, but at the same time, $100 more, supposedly, is the Blu-ray player with all those features.
Yeah, I mean, or I could just use my PlayStation 3, which has Blu-ray.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep on Facebooking on my laptop.
PS3 needs to do, like, I want it to have Vudu streaming and certain stuff, but yeah, the PS3, other than that, is an excellent Blu-ray player, and future-proof compared to some.
What I find interesting, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no Google TV out on the market, like the actual box on the market yet, is there?
I believe it's about to come out.
Or it's coming out.
Okay, I find it very interesting that the first Google TV product is integrated in the TV, and they're not pushing their actual boxed product before. I would have expected that Google would be like, okay, first we're pushing out our hardware, our box, our set-top box, which is Google TV, and then push out the integrated television sets.
Well, also, you know, I think that Google is falling down the road that TiVo went down, which, you know, TiVo, you know, everyone loves TiVo. It's a great brand name, but it doesn't sell because I'm also have a box from the cable company made by Scientific Atlanta. And I think that Scientific Atlanta is really the 800-pound gorilla that needs to be reckoned with. And Google should be making deals with cable companies, not with TV manufacturers.
Well, cable companies are taking a whole different approach to this thing with their own, you know, their own ideas and their own craze. Like Dish Network is offering, you know, movies from straight out of the theater. I mean, obviously $30 just to do it once, but I mean, they're trying to push things that, like on demand and stuff like that appeal to customers who don't want to pay for all this extra stuff or don't want all this extra equipment.
You know what I like, though? I like television that doesn't cut out when it gets overcast. So, not going to satellite.
I think cable companies need to realize that, you know, they're dying and they have to rechange what they're doing and quit just making people pay for everything.
And not do what, you know, what Fox just did with banning Cablevision subscribers from being able to watch Hulu because of their little spit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, like we mentioned the last podcast, we said that we think that cable companies are going to be okay because they've already embedded themselves so deeply into internet with internet access that pretty much if they want to kill off television, they can, and they'll still be okay because they'll probably find some alternative using their own products to pretty much outdo or at least stay in the competition in the market with Google TV, with Boxy, with, you know, whatever, Apple TV.
Well, so the truth of the matter is I can live without cable. I can't live without internet.
Yeah.
If I have internet, then I, in theory, have access to easytv.it. That's Z as in zebra, T as in tango, V as in Victor, .it, T as in tango. Not that I've go to it.
The White Noise Podcast does not endorse or condone piracy of any kind.
Absolutely. I'm just saying that I've heard tell of this website that's eztv.it that aggregates content and makes it really easy. So that's why I can live without cable.
Now, will any of you pick up a Google TV? I don't really think I would, because I was really hoping Google TV would be IPTV, which was rumored before its launch. But I mean, are
IPTV
any of you
needs a new name. IPTV needs a new name because you just cannot say IPTV. IPTV. You know, I'm sorry. Everyone will laugh.
Needs a snappier name, like the V. You know, the V.
Okay.
Did I kill it? Did I just kill it?
Yeah. You killed everyone.
I wouldn't get it. I've got too many boxes on my console anyways. I mean, I've got PlayStation and Xbox and a Wii. And then there's the television.
See, that's the next letter, the V.
We've got box set to, box overload going on.
Absolutely. Like,
it's ridiculous.
So, I don't want another box. I just don't want another box. It's, you know, Google TV, they should make some program that integrates with XMBC. That would be wonderful. You know, some universal plugin so that, you know, and then also license it for a hefty fucking fee to Apple. So Apple could use it in their failure of a project called Apple TV.
Sony should have just integrated this Google TV stuff into their PlayStation 3 instead of releasing a whole new TV. Because you know what? Now they're just oversaturating their market with different options for their products, and they're fucking themselves in the ass just like they did years ago.
That's a daily thing at Sony. Oversaturating the market with different products that don't necessarily, you know, are compatible with each other. Like for example, their camcorders and everything. And they just, yeah. It's just their
wait. Are you saying that the Sony Rolly was not an economically viable product?
Yeah, I'm saying it. Deal with it. What do you want to do?
Thing yeah, is, man. So it's not just Sony that does that. Panasonic, Samsung, they all do it. I mean,
Apples.
Apples.
But Sony is one of the few companies that has a wide grasp on the living room because it's got its TVs, it's got its grasp in gaming, it's got its grasp in audio.
Yeah.
I mean, so literally, if they would have just integrated this in their PlayStation 3, they've got probably a killer app of a box right now that does games, that does media streaming, that does movies, Blu-ray, that does your TV and all the other bullshit. Everything in one box.
Do you guys want to hear some true confession here?
It does everything.
Here's some true confession from me. Back in 2005, when I bought an HD TV, this was when the PlayStation 3 was going to be coming out. And, you know, it's coming out. And so I'm in the market for a TV. And I think to myself, I'm going to get a Sony PlayStation 3. You know, I love the PlayStation 2. I'll get a PS3. Well, I don't want to have 5 zillion remotes, so I'll get a Sony TV. And I'll get a Sony receiver, and it'll all integrate. And it'll all be wonderful.
Harmony remote time.
Oh, yes. Harmony remote, plus then you had to get the
2020 hindsight.
The little added-on thing, because Sony couldn't be bothered to put a 10-cent IR receiver into PlayStation 3. But, yeah, I mean, they had the potential, and the fact that they didn't do that was aggravating to say the least. It was
actually why I got my parents have a Panasonic HD TV. As kind of a gift for putting up with all my crap, I got them a Blu-ray player, and I made sure to get them a Panasonic because they could use the same remote.
Yep. And I mean, I think that companies overall need to start saying, you know, people don't want a coffee table full of remotes. People don't want to spend $100 to get another remote which will allow them to put their coffee table full of remotes away. People don't want 100 boxes on their console. You know, I mean, you shouldn't need 5 zillion things. You just shouldn't. It's wasteful of electricity. It's horrible looking to the eye.
It's clutter. It's clutter, and you have to upgrade your entertainment center just to fit everything on there.
Yeah. However, OCD confession, which is I'm quite excited that I'm getting the Xbox 360, the new one, because the gloss black piano finish will match the one on the PlayStation 3. So it'll look like
feng shui in my living room.
You could have just color weird your original Xbox for, like, you know, a fraction of the price. You realize that, right?
I do not give money to Colorware because of the monstrosities that they encourage. Okay.
Oh, color monstrosities, like a green with pink accents, and
I mean, like, the Nazis had great fashion sense, but I'm not going to give them money. Okay.
Okay.
I would give my buy a slim through Colorware just for them to make it matte black, because that glossy is just overplayed now. Matt is where it's at.
Thank you.
Okay.
Word.
All right. Now, the other Google topic was the self-driving cars that Google is testing, which says they're about 8 years away to reach the consumer market, which is quite disturbing because what movie was that? Was it iRobot or Minority Report?
iRobot with the self-driving cars.
Yes, and they go ballistically batshit insane and can't override them and this and that.
Well, it was they're on the highway. They're going like upwards of 90 and 100 miles an hour, and because everyone's got automated cars, they didn't make it go like batshit insane. They just unleashed a bunch of robots on his car. In Minority Report, they had a thing where they did the thing with the car.
Well, maybe Google should start testing robots going batshit insane at the car.
Actually, they are our overlords.
What they should do is they should test. They should test their cars going robot batshit insane on pretty much your standard highway. I mean, if they cannot navigate either traffic on the Belt Parkway in New York or on 101 here in California, then it's just not ready for prime time. If they can't navigate an ice storm in Nebraska, not ready for prime time. I don't want a car driving. I just don't. The truth of the matter is, humans have more processing power than computers.
Well, some
dude, you gotta offend our robot viewers, man.
Fuck them in the ear. Fuck them in the other ear.
You mean fuck them in their audio processing unit.
That's right. Where's my money?
The other argument I heard for is that, I mean, people might like to drive to a certain extent, even if they don't think they do. Like, definitely. I don't know. I wouldn't want to give complete control to a computer. You probably wouldn't at this point, but it just seems weird to people, I guess.
I wouldn't want a robot driving my car. I like driving. I like to be able to drive somewhere and go, as fast as I feel like driving.
Yeah.
I want autopilot.
Autopilot would be nice.
I seriously want that.
One of the things that this robot car is missing, which is actually pretty important when you drive, is the ability to hear things. Okay? Because if somebody's coming at you, you hear like an explosion ahead of you or behind you. By the time the robot figures out with its sensor that 200 feet ahead of me, there's an explosion going on with still 3D sensors, you would have already heard it,
Are you driving in a Michael Bay movie? Where are you driving?
Yeah, where are you driving?
Suppose the Canadians throw a bomb on us, okay? You're driving on the highway and you see the bomb and you...
Whoa, the Canadians have a military?
And that's still like 10 years away.
I should be fearful.
The car won't know that there's an explosion coming its way until it's 200 feet in front of it. Whereas you see it, you hear it, you say, oh, shit. There's an explosion, damn Canadians.
Well, this is assuming that you have no way to override control. I assume, and this is what I get from the articles, it's essentially like you override it the way you would a cruise control by just, starting to apply pressure to the brakes and the other things yourself.
You're assuming a driver's not techno-tarded and knows how to do that.
I assume everyone knows how to use cruise control.
It's a button. Cruise control is a button.
In its infancy, it's definitely going to be that simple, though, in the next 10 years, who knows?
Well, what's going to happen is that Google's going to advocate how open it is of a system and how, manufacturers could do all these cool things with it. And manufacturers will do all these cool things with it. They'll put the software in there that once a day, your car will drive you to the Mitsubishi dealership, or the Toyota dealership, or to Coca-Cola, or to McDonald's, because...
I was just thinking that. It would be able to analyze what places you pass on your way to work, and so it starts suggesting, do you want to go to McDonald's today?
I've got a problem with robot car research, because robot car research takes valuable money away from both flying car research and jetpack research, and we've been promised both of those longer than robot cars. I don't care about a robot car.
We don't need roads.
I invested in flying car stock years ago.
Oh, okay, wait. Speaking of where we're going, have you guys seen the ads for the Mercedes? The Mercedes GLK.
Swerves around the car, the deer, whatever in the road.
No. The Mercedes that has gullwing doors.
With a voice for Jaguar.
I haven't seen that.
The SLS, I believe it is.
No, it's a GL something, because the G is for gullwing.
No, the GLK is the SUV. The Mercedes, I believe, is the SLA or SLS. It has gullwing doors, I believe.
Yeah, and they've got it in silver, and all I can say is, it's the...
SLS AMG,
which, I just want one.
Did you just say gullwing doors and silver?
Yes.
I need to change my pants.
I'm serious.
And check.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, type into Google 2011 Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG gullwing. You will see a car that is begging to be turned into a time machine.
Wait, 2000
Mercedes GL,
just right now. Mercedes SLS,
because Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG gullwing.
Oh, the places I would take that thing.
I'm telling you, It is a time machine.
Seriously, that's like if they made a reboot of Back to the Future, that's the fucking car they would use.
Well, that was based off the original
the DMC, yeah, the DeLorean motor cars.
No, it was based off the original Mercedes Gullwing, which came out in the 30s, which is a gorgeous car. It looks almost exactly like that, but an updated version.
Oh, actually, I've got that one pulled up too. Yes, and
the 300SL. The 300SL was the original Gullwing car.
But the 2011 is more easily upgraded into a time machine. Why? Because you can do 88 miles an hour in it with ease.
I'm looking at a classic Gullwing. This actually looks like a James Bond car. The old one.
It looks like what would have happened if the DeLorean raped an Aston Martin.
You're going to that with the assumption the Aston Martin wouldn't, you know, want it, and they'd want to lay down by the fire and, you know.
Although afterward.
We're not going to be seeing any James Bond cars anytime soon. Thank you for that, MGM.
Hobbit, Trumpet.
But we will be seeing The Hobbit as a two-part movie. It's finally gotten the green light, directed by and written by Peter Jackson.
Oh, sweet. I'm still pissed that now, because they fucked around with Guillermo del Toro, that he wasn't the one who directed Deadly Hollows, which he wanted to do.
No, Deathly Hollows. This is going to be Peter Jackson, like he was in the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. Well, I shouldn't say original.
Well, is he going to be putting on the like extra 100 pounds and the neck beard to like get back into his, you know, Lord of the Rings movie directing? Because I'm sorry, once he slimmed down, got rid of the neck beard, he directed King Kong.
Well, no, I think it was because he was bigger than King Kong, and you know, like people would mistake him on the set, so he had to differentiate himself.
Hopefully, yes. It won't be a public disaster.
I want to see a sumo fight between Fat Peter Jackson and Kevin Smith.
Man, oh, that'd God. Be awesome. That's pay-per-view right there.
What about Peter Jackson and a midget? That would be amazing. Well, fat.
Andy Serkis and a midget.
Yeah. Snooki and Peter
Gollum
Jackson.
Gollum and a midget.
That's why I say Snooki and Peter Jackson.
Midgets make everything better.
Why
okay. Okay.
Little people.
Little people.
No, I just want to see Snooki and a midget fight it out.
That's called her standard Friday night date.
All right, let's get out of the celebrity death match here, and
let's make ourselves celebrities for now. How about this? We're gonna do a little karaoke. Oh, you guys are ready?
What?
Yes. Oh my God.
All right. For those that don't know, there was an article posted a few days ago on Gizmodo by Jason Chen, where he pretty much was debating whether or not you should buy an Apple TV. And in order to help us out, he was kind enough to record a musical composition to convey his thoughts to us. So what we're going to do is we're going to play about a minute of it so you guys could hear. And then we're going to go around the table and see if any of us could top his awesome singing abilities. Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, here we go. Brace yourselves.
And podcasts, and radio, and local network streaming. Should I buy it? Should I buy this Apple TV? I can't decide whether I should buy it. Spend it. Should I buy this? Should I take out my credit card and pay? I can't decide. This is really hard. I'm glad I read this post.
I hope you guys got your singing voices on.
Eat your heart out, John Lennon.
Somewhere Bono is rolling over in his grave.
You don't have to like, sing the whole thing.
He's dead?
Just give me a should I buy it.
Oh, he just sleeps in a grave. Okay,
who's going to man up or woman up?
See the stump set in your eyes. See the thorn twist in your side. I wait for you. Oh, wait, no, that's the actual lyrics to the song that Jason Chen so wonderfully butchered.
Okay, let's get a Should I Buy It, Snoop.
Should I buy it? Should I take my credit card out?
I don't remember the rest of the words, sorry.
Okay, that's
yeah, that's like the only line.
Okay, so we're just doing the, should I buy it? Should I take my credit card out?
You gotta go like, credit card!
Credit card!
Yeah. All right, Mike, you do it.
All right. Should I buy it? Should I take out my credit card and buy it?
This is turning into a Nickelback concert.
Oh, no.
You say like it's a bad thing.
Okay, here's mine. Name who would be performing at this one. Should I buy it? Should I take my credit card out and pay?
William Shatner.
God damn it, Shatner.
And you know what? He you should do him as he sings, what's it called?
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
Yes.
Oh.
You know,
I was actually expecting in the Star Trek movie, I was actually, when Kirk is born at the first part, I actually half expected the baby to say, goo, goo ga, goo. Goo-ga,
I think someone goo. Should sing it like Bob Dylan, like,
we're not
just on the time we're trying.
Back on topic, we got S-Bunny. Come on.
No,
yes.
I don't think so.
Yes, you do.
Joan Jett.
Should I buy it? Come on.
Sing it like Courtney.
Try Bob Dylan.
Which Courtney? Like Courtney
you
Love?
Have to.
Yeah.
This is initiation to the podcast.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think
I'd rather do the salty biscuit initiation at a frat than do this crap.
Okay. Gonzo, your turn then.
Should I buy it? Should I take my credit card out and buy it?
Wow, that sounds like Chris Daughtry.
Much more talented, though.
Clearly, we do a better job than Jason Chen at this.
Yeah.
Well,
hey. Well, can someone do a Robert Goulet? Can someone?
You can.
Right,
you have the dulcet tones.
Oh God! Oh God! I can't. I just.
Come on!
No, he's gonna come back, and Zombie on, Goulet Velvet. Is going to.
He's not dead yet.
Yes, he is.
Is he still alive? He's going to kill himself and then come back just for this.
Wait, I thought he was dead.
I don't think he's
dead.
No,
he's dead. He's dead. October 30th, 2007.
Wait, he died the night before Halloween? Oh, he's coming back.
And it's October right now.
Shit. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Someone's phone go off?
That was my Super Mario Brothers phone.
Yeah, I noticed that.
All right.
This was high school. Dude.
We got another few topics to do before we wrap up. They're going to be really quick, you know, like bam, 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 something like that. But
bam.
First off, I just want to point out to some people say Nokia, some people say Nokia, whichever one you prefer. But just to show how completely out of the loop they are with the modern world, if they have a store like the App Store, which is called the Ovi Store, for their phones, and they have an app called Guess the Number. Now, Guess the Number, what it does is you hit the start button and the phone thinks of a random number between 0 and 49. And then all you have to do is type in the number that you think it's guessing and press the guess button. And then the phone will tell you if you got it or if you should guess higher or guess lower. So it'll keep going until you finally get the number. And
this is a sanctioned Nokia app?
Yes, this is a Nokia app, and it is available on the Ovi Store. God. And I will tell you right now, it has a 4-star rating. Okay? And I want to ask you guys, would you play this game?
Hell no.
No, but I would play the Pull My Finger app in the Zoom store that just showed up.
I will tell you now that this app is available from the Ovi Store for a cool 99 cents. And the fact people have bought this and rated this game, they have paid 99 cents for this.
You can just
However,
play
keep
that
in
with
mind,
anyone.
Keep in mind that Nokia, though, is still pretty big outside of the United States.
Yeah.
And people outside of the United States don't like the same things that people inside of the United States like. Case in point, they like Nokia phones. So
I'm still waiting on that Nokia phone that appeared in The Dark Knight that looked really fucking awesome. You know, the one he used for the sonar thing, the touchscreen phone?
Nokia had some pretty awesome phones, I'll give you that. Up until 2007, their concept department and all that other stuff, the phones that were coming out were outlandish as hell, but they were sweet.
But the other problem is that they're really sweet phones never get picked up by American carriers.
Yeah.
And so then you have to buy them unsubsidized. I mean, I remember they had the Matrix phone back in, like, 2000. I mean, it looked like it was, like, chromed out. It was
sweet. Oh, I remember that thing. It was, like, it sounded like you were loading a magazine into a gun when you changed the battery or something.
Yeah, and you would click a button and the slider would come out to reveal the keyboard.
But more importantly, it was $800 in 2001.
God.
For a screen that was green and black.
5 megabytes of memory? No, goodness.
It didn't have a camera, but then again, if you were plunking down that kind of scratch, you probably had a camera. So, look, I'm not going to criticize them. I mean, they're still around. No one's talking about them filing for Chapter 11 or Chapter 7 or anything like that. Yes, there are a lot of red arrows by their operating income, but they're still bigger than Jesus.
Well, they actually announced a partnership with Motorola today to license out or to share licenses for 4G, WiMAX, LTE, and other future technologies involving high-speed mobile internet. So at least that's a good thing, because that means that cooperation means less lawsuits, and less lawsuits means faster the product will reach consumers.
Well, I don't have any LTE or 4G on my iPhone, so I guess they've got that on top of Apple. So I'm just saying, I'm not going to like dog the company because they have the unmitigated gall to like do weird shit. So.
Well, lastly, Ubuntu 10.10 came out this week. Does anybody here use Linux, by the way?
I do.
I use it on my notebook.
And I use Linux on my notebook.
Do you use the netbook version of Ubuntu, or do you use Ubuntu?
Yeah, I mean, I use Ubuntu. I have 10.04 right now. I haven't got around to upgrading it because I have to back up all my stuff, and I just haven't got around to it yet. But, you know, I look forward to it. I mean, it's got to be better than 10.4, and 10.4 is pretty good for what I use it for.
Well, I was able to mess around with it and try it out and stuff like that. It's not that major of an upgrade, so, I mean, you have nothing to lose by upgrading, but you have nothing to lose by staying to 10.4. I think the biggest changes are the software center, the way they sort of redesigned that to make it more intuitive, like an app store. And
let's stop using that word, shall we?
What word?
Intuitive.
Intuitive.
Intuitive. Okay, it's magical.
Like we should. So it's more magical, like the App Store. And also, I think it's gotten a little bit of flack because, you know, the purists are saying that now it's offering software that you could pay for, and all the purists are like, no, you know, Linux is free. Can't have paid software on there, but they do anyway. But I mean, it's got some minor improvements on there, but you have nothing to lose, but it is bridging the gap between operating systems. So
I will say this to some of the Ubuntu haters who came out when the screenshots were released. No, contrary to the haters' belief, it does not look like OS X. It does, however, look just like Adobe Air.
That's seriously actually a good point. I mean, but
look at it. They copied Adobe Air. Congratulations on that. So,
well, OS X is also built on the same platform.
Only if they copy native Adobe applications.
No. I mean, if you actually look at the screenshots, they've got the whole UI, you know, from Adobe Air.
Or did Adobe Air copy Ubuntu?
Chickens laying eggs.
But I mean,
do chickens lay eggs? Or do roosters lay eggs? Do we have it backwards? Maybe
no, we don't.
There's a secret conspiracy. While we're not looking at night, the rooster comes in and plops one down on the underneath the chicken.
I've always wondered.
Whoa!
You've heard it here first, people.
Quick question, and maybe you guys can help me out on this. Please tell me, what is Minecraft? What's the big deal about it? And should I pay for it?
No, just leave it alone. just don't.
It ruins lives.
A lot of people might disagree with you that listen to this podcast that Minecraft is probably the best game ever to be created. You know, Jesus Christ himself plays Minecraft, or Yahweh himself, or Muhammad himself.
He's talking on his iPhone, and you know, is he?
Right. Look. Shiva plays it.
Now, is there a Minecraft app on the iPhone? Because that might be the only way I will play it.
No.
Okay.
And you're now, better off for it.
Do I need to pay for Minecraft? Is it like a subscription-based game?
No, I think it's a one-time thing.
I think there's a paid version. I think there's also a free version, which includes less features, I think. Mm.
No, I think it was just free because the guy's servers crashed because of a PayPal dispute.
It's PayPal.
My biggest problem with it is I'm not going to pay $30 for a game that looks in 8-bit. I mean, it looks fun, but the graphics are just not what I'm willing to pay $30 for.
Seriously, if you want good 8-bit graphics for free, get Pussy City Pimps.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so what you're saying is I should be playing Pussy City Pimps and not Minecraft.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you do start Pussy City Pimps, you got to make sure you're on Novice, because those pimps are really, really difficult.
Make sure you buy a lot of facials, too.
Yes.
So I do have a question. The Roman orgy is more yield the anal beads like nunchucks or
it's like a whip.
Yeah, it's like a whip.
It's a whip, really?
And then you can throw it at people too instead of hitting it with them.
That's why the game's so amazing. You have to check it out. I still have to check it out.
So that is our recommendation, our game rec of the week.
Yes,
White Noise Seal of Approval.
Probably gonna be the title of this podcast too.
For sure.
Episode 2, Pussy City Pimps.
That would get us to, like the top 10 on the iTunes.
Steve Jobs will come knocking at my door and a grocery store.
We heard you using some naughty language in your podcast.
They're gonna put, like, a microchip that prevents anti-sexing technology in our brain.
Yeah, okay. Like a South Park electrical shocks.
Pretty much.
Mergers you want to see. What I want to see is I want to see some global conglomerate, I don't care which one, but I want to see one of them buy out 4chan. I want to see them buy B-chan, if only to use that as their enforcement division. Okay. So if you wrong this company, it will send B-chan after you.
Will that be the internet police?
Pretty much. It will
cyber police. No, it'll be the Internet Goon Squad.
You know what?
You know the plan of attack is probably just fill your computer with, like, kiddie porn.
What's wrong with porn?
Would be pretty
for cats.
No, pretty good plan.
Cats gotta have fun too.
Actually, you know, if I was Bill Gates with all my money, or Warren Buffett, or whoever it was,
they gave it all away. Remember?
I would buy Apple, and then dissolve the company and just stop it. I would go troll companies like that. I would just buy them and then like send them to hell.
Well, that's what. If for those who don't know, back in 97 when Apple was had a foot in the grave, Microsoft gave them a crap ton of money in not voting stock to keep them alive because of competition. If they didn't have that competitor, it would have been hell for them. So,
Apple, but I would buy all these random companies.
Okay,
like Kraft Foods.
No. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, after I win the lottery, I'm going to buy a whole ton of voting stock in Apple. Then I'm going to vote the stock so that I can have appointed to the board Carla Fiorina and John Scully.
God.
Okay. I wouldn't kill Apple. I'd kill Dell and HP, or at least HP.
You just bitter that they didn't, you know, accept your warranty, man.
Oh my. Anyway, guys, on that note, we got to slowly wrap this up. So I'd like to thank you all for coming out and hanging out tonight. Just to recap, tonight we had our guest hosts, OMG Ponies.
Yes.
We had Mike Zuniga.
I'm going to go buy some anal beads and beat people with them.
Right. Don't forget the dildo, too.
We have S Bunny.
She has the dildo.
Yes.
Yeah, I have the largest one.
God.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Gonzo Ryder was also here.
Yeah, I was.
Yes, and Snoop, Snoop Dizzle.
Your mother used Jado Beach slash Mike Trebek.
And I was your mod, Stephen Callis. Anyway, you guys can find us on gizmodo.com/tag/white noise. See us running around, say hello. Also, you could follow our Twitter at twitter.com/walletpizza. It's all one word. And then to get all the latest podcast news, if you want to directly download and don't want to use iTunes or Zoom, thewhitenoisepodcast.com is where you can find us. So thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. And till next week.
Good night and good luck.
Arrivederci.
Penis.
Farewell.
Penis.
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 Vagina. Vagina.
What's you see?
Push it off. Swear? Why is there all the swearing?
Think of the children.
My ears are being raped.
All right, I'm going to go by masturbating for my neighbor now.
Out.
It's like a horror movie twist.
Would that be creepy?
That would be creepy. That actually was Callis?
Yeah.
Ooh la la.
Well, the thing is, like, he tried to put up, like, blinds, but
creepy? You know, like, or awesome. Shades?
That's what he uses as blinds.
That means he has the lights on, so.
Yeah, you can still see through it.
Stop looking into his apartment.
I'll do what I want to do.
Oh, so she wants to.
Good God.
So it turns you on.
That's even better. That's kind of kinky.
Wow.
Wow.
Are we still
recording, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Is this going to the outtake section? Or is
this is going to go at the end. But anyway. Oh, God, what have we done?
Train wreck.
This is all normal.
You did everything you could, Stephen.
So now we know Callis lives next door to Bunny. So yeah. When I meet Bunny, I'll meet Callis.
Yeah, can you stop playing the exact same clip over and over again? It's getting old.
I'm sorry, that's what turns me on. That's what makes me jump on the couch when I masturbate.
And actually, it's funny because, his wife...
Oh, yeah! Did you ever think that maybe what turns him on isn't that clip? Maybe what he likes is knowing that he's being watched.
Oh.
Like S Bunny.
You're part of it. Congratulations.
Well, his wife catches him.
Welcome to the machine, my son. Welcome to the machine.
Well, does his wife catch him? I mean, it sounds like tacit approval by all parties. You have you gone over and, like, you know...
No.
Excuse me. I'm next door and I don't enjoy watch your pornography.
See, at this rate, the outtake section is going to be longer than the actual podcast.
Okay, everybody.
Good.
Everybody to Tiny Shed if you want to go to Tiny Shed. Otherwise, have a good night.
Am I still banned over there? It was a fun night. I'll explain more when we get there.
You're just like getting yourself banned from everywhere.
Yeah.
How else did you get banned?
He's banned from the internet.
I am?
The internet police are out to get you.
Fuck, consequences are never the same.
You know, looking at the layout on Skype right now, I've got like these three question marks. I swear to God, it looks like a game of concentration.
Okay, this is getting way too deep. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.